You're listening to a session of Come Celebrate, hosted by the Bay Christian Family Church.
I have a moment, that's all we need. I pray God inspires you, a word God gave me. 2024, a year of overflow. I believe it. And we are seeing it already. We have more than recovered from COVID. Our altars are fuller than ever. Our services are fuller than ever. We are experiencing more breakthrough than ever because God gave us a word. 2024 will be a year of overflow. My message is a little bit more serious, and I want you to sit up and pay attention, especially for us in the ministry. Because oftentimes we start at a certain pace and with a certain purpose, and as time goes by, we become a watered-down version of ourselves, and we become polite, and we want to fit in. And I like what that one pastor said to Pastor Ellen last night. Don't become domesticated. Don't become civilized. I want to add to that. And don't be an imitator of somebody in America, etc. Those young pastors, stop watching YouTube and social media. You're not living in America. You're living in Africa. You're living in South Africa. You have to get the mind of God for the people in South Africa. We sit with 12, 11 cultures in this country, and we need the word of God in this country to plunder hell and populate heaven in Jesus' name. So let me tell you, young man, your smarts and your sharps are not going to cut it. Your slick and your swag is not going to cut it. You better get something different. You better get what the Bible calls the anointing. When you get on the platform, you better drip with the anointing, because the anointing makes all the difference. So I want to talk about so the oil ceased. I mean, last year God spoke to me and he said to me, because we do these harvest events and some of our pastors felt we don't want to go to stadiums anymore. There's a lot of cost involved. And God spoke to me just like this. He said, be very intentional about what I called you to do if you want to continue to see the miracle of increase and multiplication. Be very intentional not to be caught up in the mundane of ministry, but to stay focused on what it's all about. And I'll tell you what it's not about. It's not about a limelight. It's not about a superstar. It's not about somebody that has the most likes on social media. It is about somebody that will make Jesus Christ more famous. Come on. Someone just jump on your chair or jump on your feet and give the Lord a praise today in Jesus' name. Come on. I believe our best days are ahead of us. I know God's going to intervene in South Africa. I'm excited about what Pastor Theo is going to talk about tomorrow night. I believe that this election will be peaceful, that we will have the coalition government that will benefit people. Listen, we cannot preach prosperity in the church and the people outside of the church is poor. Then we're not doing our job. We better get off our backsides and we better go and alleviate the pain and the suffering out there. Otherwise, our Christianity is absolutely meaningless. If all it's about is I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. God never said I'm going to bless you. God said I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. So if the lost no longer matters and the poor no longer matters, 40% of our people are unemployed, 70% of our young people are unemployed. Doesn't help to get them jumping in church on a Sunday and you don't have programs that will educate them, that will change them and break the back of poverty over South Africa. Say amen in Jesus' name. So we can shout till kingdom come. But if the only people that are smiling sit in church on a Sunday, we are failing miserably. We need to get beyond feeling good, feeling happy, to becoming the Good Samaritan. Otherwise, what's the point? You with a bigger house, a bigger car, a fancier label. I'm in America, and I have most of my friends in America. There's more preaching in America with less results than ever. It's not a negative statement, it's factual. Christianity is declining. Millennials have disconnected 50% from the church. That's the harsh reality, and I'll tell you why. Because we are preaching messages that are not provoking people to change. Change your lifestyle. Change what it's all about. Stop trying to appease people from the platform. Stop trying to please people and tell people what they have to. Listen, man, we have a job to do. We are the Jesus Revolution. We are what this world is looking for. We should provoke our saints to get off their rusty dusties and get the job done in Jesus' name. Say amen. I know some people don't like it. We like it. What does it help if the pastor is blessed and the church is poor? Sell your stupid car. You can't have the biggest car in your congregation. No, okay, I'm off track here. But I'm tired of this because it gives us all a bad name. People say, you're a prosperity preacher. No, I'm a purpose preacher. I preach the purpose of the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and the things will be added. You don't look for things. You don't even pray for things. Jesus said, take no thought for things, but seek first the kingdom of God. We should stop talking about things, and we should begin to talk about the purpose of God if we want to see God fill our altars with people. So you're not building a great church by being popular. You've tried it. It's not working. People want truth. They don't want fake, make-believe. Truth. Yeah? So when the rich come, they are there to uplift the poor. Not the few sitting in the first few rows have the money and the rest are struggling 20 years later on. Let's get real, man. Okay. Now that I've provoked some of you, let me go into my nice pastoral mode. That's why Pastor Alan invites me. To be nice, to ruffle nobody's feather. Silent night, holy, kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. Let's just change nothing, kumbaya. Let's just make believe, kumbaya. Listen, if you're praying your head off and you are fasting and your church's not growing, there's a problem, because God wants the church to grow more than you. Maybe you should look at your message. Okay. Anyways, so the oil stopped, or the oil ceased. The engine ceased. Second Kings chapter 4 verse 1, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha saying, your servant, my husband, is dead, her source of income cut off. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take away my two sons to be slaves. Bad place. You know, poverty should be everybody's enemy. You cannot live a blessed life and ignore the poor and go to bed peacefully. Something is wrong with you then. Not about how much money you have. It's about the difference we are making for those enslaved. When Jesus came, it was to be a liberator. He didn't just come to get us to heaven. He came to break the back and the yoke of poverty, the yoke and the bondage of sin and the consequences of sin. One of them being poverty. And when we deal with poverty, it's not just always a spiritual conversation. It has to become a very practical conversation of engaging, something Christians are not good to do. In this country, there are bills being passed and Christians are praying. Listen, my brother, there's a time to pray, but then you have to get up on your feet and you have to get involved. You have to engage. Jesus calls you the salt and the light. We cannot just pray and stay indoors and not get involved in our school committees, our school boards, and be the salt and the light and the influences of society. That's not what the world needs. The world needs the church to arise in purpose. I said the world. Bible says creation cries out. Creation is groaning. They are in travail, waiting for what? The manifestation of the sons and the daughters of God. So until we don't show up, the world will suffer. Not show up in church for a good time, but show up in society as Jesus did and make a difference. Deal with the people where they live. Help the little girl that was sexually molested. Deal with a crime in South Africa. Not pray and think it's going to go away. Some of you have prayed so much that you have camel knees and nothing has changed. I'm not diminishing prayer. We pray, but prayer is the starting point. Prayer is not the end. Prayer is the launching pad. If you do nothing, stop praying. Doesn't help you pray if you don't play. Huh? Best thing some of us can do as pastors, get off social media. Stop believing social media. Stop being interested in your stupid ego. You say, that sounds insulting. Okay, your dumb ego. Because Jesus didn't die to give you an ego. He did not die to inflate your ego. He did not die to make you the most popular preacher in America or South Africa. Paul said, I'm the least, and yet he was the greatest. He never magnified himself. He magnified the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, come on. Magnify the Lord with me just for a moment today in Jesus' name. There's one star. We don't need other superstars. We don't need them. We need anointed men and women who point to the way, who point to the Christ. Like Peter and John, when people look at them and say, why do you look at us? Why is your focus on us? As though by our power, we made this happen. Why do you look at us? As if we're something. But what do? We make preachers something. We elevate preachers to their own detriment. We blow smoke up their backsides to their own detriment. We honor, but honor doesn't mean you inflate people. Honor means you recognize. But you lift up the name of Jesus because there's no other name worthy of the glory and the praise and the honor. Come on, if you believe it today, we thank God for men, but we are but donkeys that God is using. We are but the servants that God has chosen. We thank God that He's God and He's God alone, and His name is above every other name. And I'll tell you, when we get serious about Jesus, when we magnify Jesus, when Jesus is the center, when people talk more about Jesus than the preacher, the people will come, the broken will come, the lost will come, because they're tired of looking to men. They want to look to the Christ, the Savior. You need to learn to elevate Jesus Christ, and sometimes that means you have to lower yourself a little bit. I mean, I don't want to go back to Apostle Theo all the time. I would say it was not here, but if you watched him minister last night, he drew zero attention to himself. But some of you young people, ministers, can't see that. He did the job. But the attention, the focus was upon Jesus all the time. It wasn't a show. It wasn't a performance. It was a flow. Big difference. Sometimes we humiliate people to make ourselves look anointed. If you haven't wept with a person, don't you dare pray for that person. If you haven't gone to the person that is poor, don't you dare lay hands on that person. If you cannot identify with the need and the pain, this is not some professional thing we do. We on the platform and people down there, we better be among the people as Jesus was. We better live among the people. We better touch the people. We better smell like the sheep in the name of Jesus. Amen. I mean, I go to gym for a few reasons. Number one, I like to look at myself. Number two, I like my wife to look at me. And number three, I like to reach people. I don't want to be among Christians all the time. Religious people that when you ask them how they are, or they shabba hallelujah, karabase kemen. Dude, I didn't ask you that like Pastor Sethio said. Just answer the question, how are you? Don't quote the Bible. I didn't ask you to quote the Bible. Well, praise God, hallelujah, shabba kalarisi, come on, dongam, baba, hala, vara, Allah, ba, Allah, la, la, la. No wonder people can't relate to you, because what you are off the platform is what you will be on the platform. If they can't relate to you off the platform, they'll never relate to you on the platform. Ever. I mean, I'm bumming people all the time, then they... Like, because I reach people all the time is what I do. And I don't tell people I'm a pastor. I don't want them to know. Fortunately, some people find out quickly. But then this one guy, listen, blinkety blink, blink, blink in the gym. Very wealthy guy. Didn't know I was a pastor, okay? But he talks like a language that none of us will understand. And after 2-3 weeks, now I'm talking to him and he's going through a divorce and it's that. And he's a man. I'm a man, right? Men touch men. We don't shakarabateka and think people get saved. We touch them. How's it, China? Okay, excuse me. Erase that. So now somebody will say that's a racist statement. No, I can't say nothing anymore. Hey, Boot. Who's that? Who's that? No, Boot. Vergeet die vorige comment. I repent. Forgive me, lest you be tormented. So, it's like Christians with issues, really. Is that even possible? So, after a while, he's bragging, because you know people have money, braggadocious. So he's bragging. I say, ah, la, 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 la. And then he says, what do you do? I say, I'm a pastor. He says, oh, blinkety, blink, 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 blink. You're a pastor. I said, yes, I'm a pastor. He says, oh, blinkety, blink, blink, blink. And I say, hey, don't change now. Why do you want to change? Jesus was a friend of sinners. The Bible says notorious sinners often came to hear Jesus. Not some religious people with a halo over their head that look proper and decent. Notorious sinners. They didn't come one and get saved. These meetings were filled with sinners because sinners were comfortable with Jesus. Because he wasn't preachy. He wasn't walking around with a Bible so big you can choke a donkey. He wasn't walking around unrelatable. He was perfect man. People could identify with him. And that's what you have to get, young guys. Don't try and be something that God didn't make you to be. Be a man. Be normal. Be relatable. But be anointed in the power and the presence of God. Oh, come on. Shout amen in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So this woman is in a bad place. So Elisha says to verse 2, what shall I do for you? Listen tonight or this morning. Tell me, what do you have in your house? Stop looking at what you don't have and what everybody else has. Brittany said that. And she said, your maidservant has nothing. It's always focus on what we don't have. But a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Everybody say empty vessels. No, everybody say empty vessels. God cannot fill people who are full of themselves. God cannot work in churches where there's no room for God, where the program dictates. Last time I checked, he sent the Holy Ghost. We need to make space for the Holy Spirit. Not some goofy stuff, but authentic, word-based, move, presence, power of God by the Holy Ghost. We need to make room so God can move. Can you say amen? He says, gather empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you've come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons then pour into those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him, shut the door behind her, she obeyed him and her sons, and brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, listen now, when the vessels were full, this is where God spoke to me, that she said to her son, vessels were full, place of comfort. We can preach a whole sermon on that alone. Place of procrastination. Place of no longer living with a forward, advance the kingdom mindset. No longer living to occupy, which is our assignment. People say, oh, you have a soul-winning church. Well, I thought every church should be a soul-winning church. I thought a soul-winning church is what we do. As a matter of fact, the reason Jesus hasn't come back is because of prophecy that have to be fulfilled. This gospel of the kingdom must first be preached to all the nations and the end shall come. Then Paul says, God is waiting until the number of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Then the Lord will come back again. So you can forget the stars aligning in America, the eclipse and all the nonsense people are talking about. Listen to me. Jesus will come when the number is met, when the quota is met, whether it's in our generation or the next generation or five generations from now. God has a number in his mind, and God is not willing that any should perish. So that's why Jesus doesn't know the hour. He neither does he know the number. So we want Jesus to come back. Jesus says, you get the job done. You get the job done. You do what I told you to do. You go into your world. You preach the gospel. Listen, If the Christians in this world woke up today and everybody evangelized, I tell you now, Jesus would come back in a month. So we're not waiting for the return of Jesus. He's waiting for us to get the job done. Do with it what you want to with your prophecy, but you can't dispute the Bible. Not some vision, some dream. God has a number. And until the number of the Gentiles have not... As a matter of fact, Bible's very clear. It says he put a veil on Israel so that we could get saved. He loves the Jew first. So when he comes, there will be revival in Israel. And I believe with all my heart. Listen, prophecy, not prophet, but I prophesy. Prophesy, come on, say, prophesy, man of God. Prophesy, man of God. Prophesy, come on, come on, come on. Prophesy, man of God. Let's go there. Prophesy, man of God. I'm Africa. Prophesy. How's that sound? Crazy, man. You want me to prophesy? Prophesy. You want me to prophesy? I want to prophesy. Now you don't know to take me serious, right? I know if it's the first time you listen to me, you think, whatever. I actually don't care. I've done this 38 years. And your opinion means as little as the mosquito that just flew over this building. You're 28 and you think you've got it figured out. Get over yourself, man. Do us all a favor. Get over yourself. Get over your self-importance. You say, nobody talks to me like that. Unless a seed of wheat falls into the ground, dies. Right. So, here's the prophecy. Yay. Yay. Nou kyk, ek sien van julle lyk of julle bomskok het. Julle weet nou nie wat om te doen nie. Wat gaan aan met hierdie ou van die Vrystaat? Nee, jy's nou geskok in jou vorm, want jy het so godsdienstig geword. Jy sit met jou stywe nek. Maak met so 'n bietjie. Listen, you let make me have a revival myself just by the shock and the disbelief on your faces. I'm just going to fall over here like I used to do when the Holy Ghost moved in our church. I just fell over and I thought, I can't handle this, Lord. I'm bailing out. I'm enjoying you. That's it. Remember those days when the Holy Ghost showed up and it's like, and everybody's watching the pastor. And I'm watching them and I'm like, okay, they have a sound mind again, I can preach. Here's the prophecy. It shall come to pass in the last day, says the Lord, without a yay and a yo and a whatever, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. We are heading for the greatest revival this world has ever seen. And I'll tell you where it's going to happen. You know what? You want to know where? The Muslims. Write it down. Because they are so close to salvation. The Muslims are already turning to Christ. We are going to see a revival in the Muslim world. Listen to me. Like you never imagined. This is going to be the greatest harvest of souls. That is going to come in before the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that number is going to be fulfilled. Maybe not with the arrogant, materialistic individual that has no time with God. But I'll tell you, with the people that are seeking God, but there's a veil upon their minds. I'm telling you that 2 billion Muslims, God has got them in his target. And the Spirit of God is going to move. And you are going to see, you are going to hear it in Iran, in Iraq, all over the Middle East, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan. I tell you today, you better listen to me. There's going to be a move of God that will shake the nations of the earth, and God's going to raise up great men and great women out of these countries, and they will preach the gospel because they have not been defiled by materialism. They have sought this God, and when they find this God, they will not be polluted and they will not be corrupted, but they will take this Christ, they will take this Messiah, they will take the one they call the Anointed One, and yet they do not see me as the Anointed One, and they will proclaim that He is the Lord, that He is Christ, that He is the risen Savior of the world. So if you want to pray for revival, pray for the Muslim world, because I'm telling you, God is getting ready to move in the Muslim world. Oh, come on, church, in the name of Jesus Christ. They are closer to salvation than most people. We have to stay focused on the oil that we have received. The oil that we received is for a purpose. This anointing has a purpose. My question is, when did the miracle stop? The miracle of increase stop? When she stopped pouring. When she became a consumer. When our members become consumers, the miracle of increase stops. When it's all about me. Every time Jesus touches a person, He gives him responsibility to go beyond himself. Not to come and come and come and come and come. Every time He touches, He says, now go give. Now, we want to see God move. We better get purpose beyond ourselves. So the question is, who determined the extent of this miracle? Did God? Did the prophet? No, the woman did. What? Her expectation. Her expectation. She needed a miracle. So what did she need? Inspiration, which is what Pastor Theo spoke about last night, which is what the Word of God. She received inspiration. That inspiration birthed expectation. Listen to me very carefully, Pastor. When you run out of expectation, you will run out of the oil. Because expectation will demand preparation. And preparation will demand perspiration. You cannot sit and not be proactive if you have expectation in your heart. You enlarge the place of your tent. You make room for God. You stretch to the left and the right. You have an anticipation. You never sit in a place of comfort. So she's in a crisis. So the prophet comes with inspiration, which is what the word. The word brings what? Faith. She's in a place that looks like a dead end. But oftentimes what seems to be a dead end is a new beginning. Are you listening to me today? What seems that there is nothing, God says, but there is something. You have to look on the one thing that I gave you and you have to begin to pour it. You know, when I got saved, I told people about it. I never wanted to be a pastor. I studied law. You look at me today, you think that man shouldn't be a pastor. Amen. We agree on that. Have done it for 38 years. I don't know why, because I'm not a candidate. I still am not polished, and you're never going to polish me. It ain't happening. People have tried. It's not happening. I'm not becoming polished, domesticated, civilized, bland, beige, boring. No. Yuck. Makes me wanna puke. She has a crisis. You know, if your church is not growing, you have a crisis. Do you get that? Don't come with excuses. People come and say, this is a difficult place. What makes it difficult? What's between your ears? That's it. There's no difficult for God. God says there's nothing to offer. Oh, no, it's difficult in this country. Well, there are churches that have revival in that country. So don't come with that. Let's get back to the faith of last night, right? If it's God's will for your life. But you can't go claim things that's outside of your grace. If God called you to be a singer, be a singer. Don't be a preacher. If God called you to be a preacher, don't be a singer. Huh? You want me to sing? Hallelujah. You're coming back next week? So it doesn't help. I come every day and say, I confess I'm going to sing. No, you're not. You're not graced. You're not gifted. Sit down, shut up. And when it's your time to preach, stand up and preach. But when it's time to sing, let the person sing that can sing. Thank you, my brother. You're making me feel good. You see, I need that. I feed off of that. So, I never wanted to go in the ministry. I got saved, radically saved. I'll close quickly. I have 2 minutes. And started a home cell. The home cell exploded. 3 weeks, 60 people. Then I went to a little town called Lady Brand. 6 people. Little room, 40 people. God filled it. Then went to a 90-seater. God filled it. Then a 300-seater. God filled it. Then 94, God calls me to Bloemfontein. 300-seater. God fills it in a year. Build a 1,500-seater. God fills it in a year. Expand it to 4,000. God fills it. Span it to 6,000, God fills it 3 times on a Sunday. Then God calls me to go to Pretoria, build a 6,000-seater, God fills it. I'm not saying anything that I'm great. I'm saying that I learn. You make space. Then we build a second auditorium in Bloemfontein, God filled it. Then we build the 5,200-seater in Johannesburg, God filled it. And I'm saying this because the Lord spoke to me. Because sometimes, you know, in movements, there's politics. People don't understand the miracle of multiplication. And God spoke to me. He said, you better respect the oil that I gave you. And you better stay true to the assignment. Or this miracle of multiplication will stop on the whole movement. Because the oil comes from God. The assignment comes from God. While you respect the oil and you stay true to your original calling, your original assignment, which for us at CRC is very simple. Win the lost at any cost. If it doesn't lead to soul winning, we will not do it. Whether it's a feeding program, a children program, a prisons program, whatever we do, it's about the lost. And by the way, Jesus died on the cross for the lost. Not to give the saints a good time. That's part two. The purpose that Christ died was to get people saved. That's it. Then as those who are redeemed, we are taught that we've left Egypt behind. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We understand that spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, relationally, he redeemed us. That means he purchased us. He bought us with his blood. But there's a purpose for it. There's a purpose. That is to preach the gospel. That's why Paul writes to Timothy again and again. He says, do not be ashamed of me, that prisoner of the Lord, neither of the testimony of the Lord. For the Lord has not given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. God's never called you to be timid. Again and again, he has to say to Timothy, pastor, stay with the program. Do the work of an evangelist. Don't get caught up in your dominant gift, whether it's prophetic, whether it's deliverance, whether it's singing. The purpose of the church is to continue the assignment of Jesus Christ, which is, my brother, to plunder hell and populate heaven. And I'll tell you, if you will honor the purpose of God, God will honor you as a businessman. If the oil flows from you to your people, you share your testimony to your people, you finance the kingdom of God with your resources without any hype. Listen. You don't need to be hyped to give. You need to make up your mind to give. You need to settle it once and for all. That you give because you love God. And nobody has to ask you. I said nobody has to ask you. When you love Christ, you make up your mind. So while the oil flowed, that is your prayers, your praise, your worship, whatever God graced you with, your offerings, while it flows, the miracle continued. The minute we do this, the minute we shut the church from God's purpose, we have the same people. And the Bible says there's more joy in heaven over one than over 99 that, kumbaya, my Lord. Well, we can go like, kumbaya. We can wrap it, we can dress it anyway. But if people don't get saved, really, I don't think God's interested. It's a show. I know it's a bitter pill for people to swallow, but when you got saved, you automatically shared your testimony. And now? I mean, I fly every Sunday over all your churches in Pretoria because I preach. Then I climb on a helicopter, which is not mine, but everybody says I've got 10 helicopters. And a jet, I have jets and helicopters. I, you know, according to people, I own half the SAA, etc. So, amen. And if you're one of those fools, God bless you. Because you can't reason with a fool. A fool is a fool. You say, I just called you a fool. I said, if you are one of those fools, God bless you. So I fly and I look from the sky to preach in Johannesburg. I preach in Pretoria first service, then I fly to Johannesburg. Then I see everything. I see the car parks. I see how many of the church's car parks have emptied. They can, we're blessed and I know that I am. No, I see. God has his eye on you. So are we the WWF? It's fake. And it's changing nothing. And we do it every week. And we actually believe it's real, but it's not real. I'm not saying it is like that. I know in this church it's not. I'm talking to those empty chairs back there. Or is this real? Is this real? And if it's real, I'll tell you what should be real. People. People. The heart of the pastor will be reflected throughout his whole congregation. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth. What sits in your church is your treasure. You produce who you are. And if you love people, you're passionate with people, and you pour that God has given you, not on a platform like this, my word. You think this is ministry. Huh? This is not ministry. This is just having an opportunity to say something, to provoke somebody, to think. Ministry is when you get on your feet, you walk out that door, and you actually see people for who they are. You actually notice people, and you actually care, and God knows whether you do. You can do your marketing. My American friends are good with that. This one builds a new children's church, and the other one builds a better children's church. And then everybody markets and markets and markets. And I said to one of my dear friends, sorry, Ellen, I'm finished now. I said to one of my dear friends, I said to him, Ed, in Dallas. We preached in a conference together. I said, if your church grows with 3,000 and not one person got saved, how did it benefit God's kingdom? Because that's what some people do. They feed off other churches with their little programs. I said, how did it benefit God's kingdom? Next morning, he walked next to me, walked in the conference, says, Art. I thought about this all night. My brother, you are right. I said, exactly. Because your church grows, but nobody gets saved. Where do they come from? Huh? It's a question. That's a vraag. In somebody else's church, which makes you a what? Ooh, I didn't say that. I'm not going to repeat that you said it makes him a thief. So you're the praise and the worship leader, you get to be in your bonnet, and the Lord told me, because when you say the Lord, you outrank anybody and everybody. The Lord, praise God, hallelujah, the Lord, Jesus spoke to me. Hey, Pete, ek het al 10 soos jy gesien. En wat jy nodig het, die Afrikaners het 'n goeie woord voordat jy 'n klap nodig. Because the Lord is a builder, not a divider, not a breaker. Amen. God has given you everything you need. Listen, God's given you everything, and God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. According to the power of God that works in you. Come on, my brother, come on. Get inspiration, your vision. Get expectation. Make the preparation and then put in the perspiration. Hard work. You go dig those ditches. You go do the possible. You do what God called you to do. You do what only you can do, and you'll watch how God is going to bless your business. God's going to bless your marriage. God's going to bless your children. God's going to bless everything about your life, because there is the plan and the purpose of God. Increase, multiplication, overflow in the name of Jesus. God bless you. Love you. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this session of Come Celebrate. We hope you enjoyed.